You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon at bringingdowntheband.com and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, and Team Backpack. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/New Old Heads. Episode 90, the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. I make beats. I have the hard drive and I do want that smoke. Longevity is in front of me playing the keys. With the Malcolm X t-shirt on, we see you for the culture. Longevity is for the culture.
Hello.
DJ J Diff, adjacent is what I want to call it to me. Rocking a new Tigolo, new Tigolo, new Tigolo. Fresh to death as always. What's going on, sir?
Salutations.
You good?
I'm great. I got my kit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're already false flagging. I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to need you to turn that can around, brother. They ain't giving us a check yet. Brother, could you go ahead and turn that can around?
You said I'm false flagging?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that has anything
to do with it.
It just sounded good, though, but it sounded good, though.
It has nothing to do with it.
It sounded good, though. You didn't let me. Just let me have that.
Nah.
Why you can't let me have that?
Nah, B.
Well.
No. Nah. What should I have said? Since we're friends, what should I have said?
Maybe just turn the can around.
Yeah.
That would work.
Fair enough, man.
That particular corporation
way,
is not sponsoring.
Let's say it this way. They ain't cutting no check. So until they cut that check, then we'll turn it around. Jay Moore is in the building, the voice of Indianapolis. Mr. Wavy Light Skinned Girls Be Loving Me Now. He is conditioned. He is my brother. What's going on, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
You know what, man? I'm good, man. I can't complain.
All right.
We'll see, you know what I'm saying? I can't complain. Everything is good. Everything is love.
That's what I like to hear.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the sponsors as always. Coleman Dental, 317-255-8546. Get your teeth is right. No Bad Ideas.
Sense for teeth.
They dropped us a new joint, trucker joint for the Oddities line. So they always take care of us as always.
Yeah, I like that one.
I do like this one. We're going to have to talk about this one.
Got the color underneath. See that?
Yes, sir. They
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the bill's kind of dope. That is dope underneath.
Yeah, watch yourself with that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look at that there.
Printfinity, as always, you know, they lace us from time to time. We got some stuff coming up with that as well. So, black-owned, support your local businesses. Bringing Down the Band, as always, is the hub. Longevity, I call him the maestro for that. And Team Backpack as well. We appreciate you guys.
Yes, indeed.
They looking out for us as
hey,
well.
Hey, man, shout out to Red August, man.
Yes, sir. Red August
you know,
is in the
in
building.
The building. You know
he is our cameraman slash on-site producer slash laugh at us when we mess up slash you might hear him in the background giggling slash. So pay that man, photography, weddings, bar mitzvahs, family reunions.
Bat mitzvahs.
Is it bot? I always mess it up.
No. There's two different types.
This is like a deja vu, right?
Yeah.
What about strip clubs?
I've never been to either one. Strip clubs, he does those as well.
Yeah, you've been to strip clubs.
Yeah, but I ain't been to the bot. Or,
what's the other one?
Quinceañera.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I live on the west side. There's plenty of places if you want to get your quinceañera.
How you say that?
Quinceañera.
Say it again.
You say it.
See,
no, why you it's always, not me.
It's
not
funny that you always want to catch somebody
nah,
up.
I'm not trying to. I'm trying
in a
to
mush mouth
out.
Moment. Go ahead. Keep spit it out.
Nah, they don't even know who mush mouth is. That's before.
They know.
That's before they time.
They know.
Shout
go
out
ahead
to the
and
Cosby,
say it, Mike.
Shout out to the Cosby Kids. Say it again so I know how to say
I've
it.
I've said it twice.
I didn't hear you.
Well, the people heard it.
Damn. it's quinceañera, for the record.
There you go. He said it again.
Okay. Yeah. I like how he said it.
Let's hear how you say it.
So Warren G was...
we're going to Warren G already?
Yeah, Warren right. G was with Big Boy, man. Had a very interesting interview. I don't actually, you know what? I saw some of it, but I was thrown away and taken aback by something that he said.
Thrown away.
You're thrown away?
And take it
away. Blown away. Blown away.
Shit, oh. No, man.
Come on, man.
Now, so you were thrown or blown?
I said blown.
No.
See, why are we doing this, man? Why are we doing this, man?
Last
this
I checked, you started it.
No, I didn't.
You kind of did.
You the one that had you the one that had the false advertisement.
See,
so anyway,
are we gonna do this? Yeah,
see, shit like this is gonna bring everything to a motherfucking head.
Yeah,
that's about as much cursing as I've done the entire time I've been
we
on this podcast.
We see.
I don't know why.
So yeah,
it's all good though.
And I'm coming to you first, J Diff, because I don't know where the hell he got this from. But Warren G basically randomly in an interview with Big Boy, says that Indianapolis is the most dangerous place in the world.
On
Craig.
Earth.
The whole world. Yeah.
Like somehow he was talking about the G-Funk documentary that's on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. That you got to pay for. I'm not paying for nothing on YouTube. So
don't get it twisted now. Warren G is an OG. Warren G is a legend.
For sure.
We all know what it is. Don't get it twisted.
Mm-mm, no, no one's taking away from his musical legacy.
But I don't know what the hell he's talking about on this one. Maybe I missed something. I know Chicago's very, very close.
No.
They would have got the nod. No. I don't know what's going on, but I'm coming to J Diff. Talk to me, man, because I feel like I'm missing something here. What is he talking about?
I think we're all missing something here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say this with all due respect to Warren G as a pioneer.
OG. OG in the game.
Man, fuck all that you talking about on Indianapolis being the most dangerous city in the world.
He said it with conviction,
the world.
Like he meant that mug.
Not Fallujah.
Yeah.
The world.
Not Afghanistan.
Based off
everything
what,
out
that's
there.
A country. That's a country, but.
Everything out there.
But based off what, though?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, where is he getting this information?
It was real random the way he
just
brought it
real,
up, too.
I mean, they were talking about how Cali was. I believe that's what kind of led into it. They were talking about how
early 90s,
Cali was in the 90s.
They compared Chicago to L.A.
Then they went
to
Chicago. Then he brought up Indianapolis, Indiana, which is strange. I mean, he has to have some kind of – somebody in his family must be here and must be reporting back to him or –
maybe
somebody
property
is,
or something here. I don't know, man.
It's
I
mean, just not that bad here. I mean,
yeah.
Mind you, we have crime. Like every
city
other
does.
City out there yeah. does. It's Midwest. You know, it heats up. Shit goes crazy. It gets cold. Shit goes crazy.
Yes, sir.
People don't know how to act. It goes on everywhere in the United States. Indianapolis, Indiana is not even the worst state or city within a 200-mile radius.
It's not even the worst city within the state of Indiana.
It's not.
I think
because I'm thinking, did he mean, does he think Indianapolis is a lot closer to Gary? Is that where the confusion came into play? Because
I feel like there's something that he's not telling us to, for him to come to that conclusion. There's something
like
that's
all
missing.
Of a sudden just bring up Indianapolis. Yeah.
Mr. Warren G, if you're watching, we'd like for you to give us an explanation as to what you meant.
You got to run them numbers, fam. I need some data.
I'm going to need to see that. I'm going to need to see that proof. But I just hope that people, because, you know, people like to claim these standards that people, and titles that people give you.
Yeah.
And I just hope that people here don't kind of try to run wild with that statement
for sure.
and want to try to
live up to it.
On some Chirac
you know what
type
I'm saying?
Shit.
No, this ain't that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, because
we ain't going.
Yeah, because I remember. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm originally from St. Louis.
They heard you hating in the background last time. Yeah,
I mean, I felt like, you know, I thought there was some Nelly slander
what
going
we say,
on.
There
that,
was not any Nelly slander.
No, we cleared it up. We cleared it up.
I mean, if you want, I'll slander Nelly for you. See?
Lone acting like sweat and suit what didn't have some heat on it, though. Both sides.
We had that conversation.
Yeah, even I can't go with that.
I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying, like, one of the things when I moved here, it's almost 12, 13 years ago now, I just thought, wow, it's cool because somebody doesn't get shot every day.
Yep.
You know, and because St. Louis is, because the thing is also, what is considered to be St. Louis, like there is, you know, the county areas when you talk about Ferguson and Jennings, and then you go to the south side, and then that's St. Louis County. When you talk about the city of St. Louis, it's a constantly shrinking city. So the thing is, the murders, the statistics for crime, why it's always in the top three or four, if not number one, is because people don't live there. And that's why, like, when you actually look at, you know, because you see all these people that get shot in Chicago, and you think, oh, they're number one. Chicago's not even in the top 10, but it's also because it's a much larger city.
Right.
So, you know, crime statistics are based on per 1,000 people, mm-hmm. you know, how many robberies, how many rapes, how many murders per 1,000 people mm-hmm. or 10,000 people or 100,000 people. Like there are different metrics in which they go ahead and measure these things. And I'll just say this. And like I said, I don't want Indianapolis to try to hang. Like there's a lot of things for
not
Indianapolis to be proud of. Don't be proud that you don't try to make your way into that top 10. Please don't, you know,
and we Indianapolis. Gary was already
yeah.
top top of the food chain as far as that's concerned.
But once again, a shrinking city,
right,
where there just happens to be a lot of crime,
right,
per 100,000 people.
Shout out to Gary, though. I know a lot of people went to college with a lot of people from that area, so.
Gary, like, that's one of the things when I meet people, as I've gotten to meet a lot of people here, is I always meet the best people from Gary.
Right.
To shout to GI, because they remind me of people from East St. Louis. Yeah. Because a lot of them came up through a lot of hard situations, because East St. Louis in the 80s was wild.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the people who are from East St. Louis, they're so proud to be from there. Yeah. The people who are from Gary, Indiana, are so proud to be from there. And the thing is, it's something about that comes through, especially if they made it through and made it out, that is just awesome. So
Warren G is from Long Beach, California.
Yes, sir.
Which is close to or adjacent to Compton, California.
I like adjacent. Yeah. I like adjacent.
Yeah, I know.
South Central. South Central adjacent. Yeah, all that. Yeah.
I like adjacent.
So I'm just trying to understand. I mean, we don't have a big gang culture here like they do in LA and Chicago. So where is this just super dangerous Fallujah shit coming from?
For sure.
Yeah. It was just a weird random thing for him to bring up. And when I heard it, I was like, I just heard a snippet because it was on Instagram. I remember shout to my man Chino Dollars. He had posted it up. And then I saw it. I was like, well, let me go back and research this. And it just came up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So. And I actually, after he did that, I went back and watched the entire show.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what's the context of this? What's he talking about? But there was really not a lot of context to it. I mean, it was just a quick, jumped into it and it was out. And they changed subjects. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, they were talking about coming up in California. And
yeah, then, we ain't going. You can come visit us. You can hang out.
Yeah.
You'll live.
Hell, you can come on the program, brother, if you want. Yeah.
We could talk about
I'm just talking about people in general, but yeah, that too.
That too, yeah. Yeah. You got to get that plug in there.
No,
yeah.
But definitely don't come to Indianapolis. You know, if we was that bad, we wouldn't have got, we got another Final Four that we just got booked for.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
Know? Yeah, so, and we're going to get the college football national
championship. I mean, mind you, the NCAA headquarters is here.
That's a fact.
I mean, we did kind of have the inside track on that, but hey, if it was as bad as Warren G said, then I doubt that we'd be getting.
We're also in a bidding war to get Amazon, one of the main headquarters here. So I don't know. The real estate is booming. There's nice houses and shit.
Yeah, you know,
downtown is growing.
Facts.
Money is being circulated.
Facts.
Salesforce is here.
Definitely. Purdue is one of the biggest technology schools in the country.
You know.
Period. That's how
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We see you over there long. Some
Boilermaker.
So, he threw me off, man. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't.
And right here in Indianapolis, Butler is a good-ass school, too.
Facts.
That houses a lot of the educators around the country.
Yep. Shout out to Mr. Kinetic.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And doctors.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Boutelaire.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man.
It just seems very random.
Yeah, he tripped on that shit. But.
G-Funk era. It is what it is.
I forgot to ask y'all, too.
Nandra, before you go on any further.
Yes, sir.
You remember when Warren G was breaking himself?
What?
He was breaking himself.
Oh yeah, see in Regulate. Yeah. I contend that as much as everybody loves that song, if you listen to Regulate, Warren G deserved to get robbed.
He looked at the brother and said, "Damn, what's next?"
They was taking his rings. They took his Rolex.
Man,
I see how you put that.
Luckily,
together.
He had a friend like Nate Dogg who was willing to come through and make some bodies turn cold.
Man,
and then
they was dropping and yelling. It's a tattoo late.
He actually talked about that in the interview a little bit. He was like, "So,
He said Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate, but really, Nate Dogg was the only one to regulate.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Straight up.
And Nate Dogg, after he shot all them people, he was like, yo, let's get some horny tricks and go to the East Side Motel.
Let's go.
So that's how you get
party
down.
Party time, excellent.
Exactly.
Hey, that's classic.
94, that's how we get down.
Yeah, he might have been on some bullshit there, but that's a classic.
Yeah.
We know that's a classic.
They took my Rolex.
Come on, man.
I looked at the brother and said, damn, what's next?
No.
Jesus Christ.
On that note. I wanted to add, I forgot to ask y'all too before we got popping, got rolling here. Did any of y'all catch the Will Smith joint Rap Radar? Did y'all get a chance to see
when
that?
When he was
Elliot
doing
Wilson?
The Kiki challenge?
What are you talking about?
It's an interview.
No. Yeah, I got it. Because it was a, because, you know.
Is Rap Radar still a thing?
Well, because it's also on Tidal.
It's on Tidal.
Okay, I mean, I'm not clowning. I'm just curious.
No, it is.
It's through Tidal. Yeah,
it's through Tidal.
Elliot Wilson. They sat down with Will Smith, man. And dude is brilliant, man. His thought process.
Oh, yeah. I follow
him. You know what I'm saying? His Instagram is like
Will
the best ever.
Like,
man, his life goals.
His Instagram is my life goal.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
his content is so cold on Instagram, like
ain't nobody man. And he's only been on Instagram not even a year yet, right?
Yeah. And got it on Smash, his YouTube channel, content. All of that.
Well, you know what makes Will Smith so special is that he comes from the old Hollywood model, and he understands that there's a new way that people are consuming content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
he's capitalizing.
Instead of saying, wait a minute, no, they just gotta come see me on TV and in movies, it's like, no, I got to bring the content to them, and I got to give it to them in little bites, and it's got to be good, even if it's only 55 seconds at a time.
Packaging it
up.
You
know, he got to have, like, a camera crew following him around because he comes up with these ideas.
Drone game is on 10.
Him.
Yeah.
He does little videos where shit be shaking and shit.
He'll be out in Bucharest and all that good shit.
Yeah. Oh, he need to hire Mike.
Yeah.
Will Smith, come snatch up Red August, man. He'll get you right.
Yeah, whenever you come to Indianapolis, because we're not that dangerous.
Yeah,
come on, yeah. Tied that in.
Jazzy Jeff has been here a couple times. He never got hurt.
Yeah,
it's all good. We showed love to Jazzy Jeff.
That boy been on a podcast before.
Just a little bit.
I like that. But the reason I brought Will up is because he also talked about he and Jazzy Jeff in terms of the respect or lack thereof that they get when people talk about hip hop. I'm not talking about the first Grammy. He said he even was kind of like, I'm not really on the awards. I'm more about the box office as I become an actor and everything. But you said he always had to label that they were soft or they were just goofy. Like, were they someone that you guys always held in a high regard when we were coming up? Because I always thought, to me, Summertime is timeless forever. I don't care where you play it, when you play it.
That's every year.
Every year. Yeah. It's never going to die. But I don't know if they get the P's that they should. Jazzy Jeff is one of the coldest DJs I've ever seen.
I think they do.
You think they do?
I think Jeff does as a DJ, definitely.
Right, okay.
Like, especially from like the DJ culture, all the DJs look
but
up
Jazzy,
at Jeff.
I'm talking about Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Well, you gotta realize the path that they paved.
Facts.
Their music began to flop.
Yeah, he said it.
Certain,
he said it.
But during that time, you know, everybody knows the story. He had a meeting with Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones put him on the spot.
Yep.
He ended up auditioning for the show, which became Fresh Prince.
Right.
Boom. Got Fresh Prince. He brought Jazzy Jeff onto the Fresh Prince.
Which was dope.
People that probably have never listened to a Fresh Prince album know who Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff are.
That's a fact.
Just from watching the TV show.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So that in itself is iconic.
Yeah, but it's not hip-hop to like Will Smith.
You're right. It is not. That is very true because...
That's true.
Because, mind you...
Fresh Prince was hip-hop, though.
But on a music level...
And that was
a jam.
That's like a classic video in itself.
All of that.
Like, but you got to realize, around the time, parents just don't understand, and then that girls ain't nothing but trouble. And then you got to understand what was also happening in the culture. That was also the time...
N.W.A.
Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Slick Rick. EPMD. So the thing is, there was so much incredible music that came out. Like, we talked about it, you know, kind of in the pre-show. We talk about, like, the year 1988. Like, you could get lost in the sauce and still be classic in 1988.
I mean, even think of another group that was kind of similar to Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff, Kid & Play.
Yeah.
We don't give Kid & Play their props.
Right.
We really don't.
I think their props comes from the House Party series more than it does.
I mean, it does.
The Fun House and the records that
but
they had.
But they had solid hit songs.
No, and the thing is, like, as goofy
so did
as Kid
MC Hammer did too.
Yeah, MC Hammer, he had a cartoon.
MC Hammer's the thing is, this is what people don't remember, because I'm like the person that just this is where my total recall comes into play. I don't know why. But I remember, like, in the order in which singles were released for certain albums.
That's your sixth sense.
Exactly. So when people talk about Can't Touch This, I was like, do you realize Can't Touch This was the third single off of Please Hammer Don't Hurt? The first single off that record was a song called Help the Children.
Mm.
The second single was Dancing Machine.
Mm-hmm.
third single was Can't Touch This.
So it didn't pop to the third single.
Like, then it really, it did. It really did.
Hey, Red August, because, put that on the list, man.
Because
he
honestly,
Nas and MC Hammer.
Help the Children and Dancing Machine couldn't touch Pump It Up. Mm-mm. They did not touch Please Hammer Don't
Turn This Mother
Turn
Out.
And yeah. Yeah, so because that first Hammer
put
album,
me in the mix.
Let's Get It Started.
Put me in the mix.
You, I'm telling you, there are people, everyone, it got fashionable to dislike Hammer, just like mm-hmm. it kind of got fashionable to dislike
Who
DJ Jazzy
Jeff. Who did Third Base start it?
In a way, they did. But you know what?
Search the first one at Disney.
I credit Hammer for kind of kicking off the East Coast, West Coast beef.
Oh, man.
Okay, let me give you the science on this.
Right. Please.
Because.
Shout out to
in
adjust the, your microphone a little bit so we can hear you.
Okay, in the video for Pump It Up, he's like, he has these dudes dressed in, like they got on the hats, kind of like Run DMC. There's like, oh, Hammer, in the beginning, why you do us like that?
Yeah.
And like,
you're right.
The thing is, nobody was, Run DMC were the kings. They were.
Yeah.
Nobody was trying to throw shots at Run DMC in 86, 87.
That's a fact.
And here comes Hammer, and not even from New York, but from the West Coast. And then he has a song where he talks, he scratches their names. He's like, I do it better than Dougie Fresh, Kool LL, and DJ Run.
Yeah, I remember that.
So here are the three.
He wasn't taking no losses.
Here are the three showstoppers on the East Coast. And because LL answered him back. To the Break of Dawn.
Well, you know, LL didn't play around when anybody said his name.
But. LL would address everybody. That's that Queens thing in him. That's where 50 Cent get it from.
No question.
But see, this is why I kind of disagree. I mean, you're right.
Okay.
But Ice Cube had a lot to say about MC Hammer.
In the Be True to the Game, he didn't say his name.
He didn't.
Yeah.
But he definitely had a Hammer lookalike in the video. Sure.
But see, that's West Coast stuff.
Yeah.
Good call.
I'm talking about really, and so when it was the video for the Gas Face, here comes they have an actual life size Hammer with the glasses on it, and they kick it over, and DMC's in the video with Third Base.
Yeah. Sneak dissing.
Yeah.
So way before Drake.
Mind you, this is 89, 90.
Yeah.
So that's really what, and Search has a crazy story, which I'm not sure if I completely believe about, you know, about how basically MC Hammer was trying to get them killed when they came to the West Coast and they had to get.
But y'all remember what Redman said about MC Hammer, though?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he said they was about that. He was about that.
Hammer
action.
Was like, you going to put this respect on my name. I don't think.
I mean, Oakland.
I'm still from Oakland.
It was one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
Crazy. In the world, on this earth. They might not be as dangerous as Nat, but according to Warren G, but I feel
ain't nobody as dangerous as us, evidently.
Back to Will and Jeff.
Yeah.
I've always looked at them as being dope. Home based. I copped the album Home Based. I had it. You know what I'm saying? With Summertime on it.
Mm-hmm. I had it too.
It had some heat. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the album prior to that did not have any heat.
Oh, that's the one that he even said.
With I Think I Can Beat Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
But I think Will is hip hop though, man. Like, we know he turned into the super actor and all that. But it's like, Will still is hip hop though.
I mean,
when I look at him, I still
that they
see
boycotted
that
the Grammys.
Facts.
Because they didn't want to televise them receiving
facts,
an award.
Man.
Like, there's a lot, you gotta understand, there are certain people we just owe shit to.
Right.
Will and Jazzy Jeff for not going to the Grammys when they didn't win.
Yep.
You know who we owe a lot of shit to and we do not talk about? Luke.
Nobody talks about
not
Luke.
Because he took those slings and arrows as far as the censorship was concerned.
Nobody.
Even if you don't care for his booty shake music, whatever, you gotta give Luke his props because he was the one who had to spend that money
for those
court cases so we could have that parental sticker and say what and people could say what they want to say.
That's
and
true.
Not have their albums pulled from shelves.
What show did he get honored? What show was that where he got honored?
Hip Hop Honors on VH1.
Was it VH1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was dope to see Ross and all those cats from Miami come out because Luke, if you're talking about the history of hip hop, Luke is going to have a huge chapter or two. You got to mention him. You know what I'm saying? And they
came after him. They tried to just arrest him for singing his songs.
Facts.
And
facts.
like I said, like whether or not you thought his music was great,
and they were doing that all
gotta,
over the place.
You got to give him his props. You got to give Lucas props.
And I don't. This has something to do with hip hop too. I don't know if y'all have seen that video that's circulating right now.
What's that?
Where there's a white dude on there talking about how hip hop created, well, the hip hop culture is the reason why black people.
I knew you
haven't.
Was gonna say something black family or something.
Y'all,
black.
Y'all haven't seen that video?
I haven't, but I had a feeling you was gonna say that. What does it say?
Is this dude what is going say? On a rant pretty much saying that there's no such thing as white privilege and the reason why things are like they are is based on the music, hip hop.
Oh, okay.
Is what he's saying. What is it's he, a younger what? Dude too. He's probably late 20s. No, he's a white dude.
I'm about to say, what's the ethnicity of this young person?
He's a white fella.
Well, then he just loses his credibility.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, Lone, he goes Lone on this long. Going,
he
go, not going
he
for
goes on this long, like 5-minute rant about how lyrics and suggestive lyrics or whatever are the reason why the black community is in the state that it's in.
You know
blah,
what was around
blah,
before.
Blah.
Raunchy lyrics.
Talk to me, Long.
White privilege.
Man. Yeah.
It's you, know here. You know what was around before raunchy lyrics? Redlining.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Segregation.
You're right.
Jim Crow laws.
Yeah.
Slavery.
The black codes.
Yeah.
Maybe some of that had, maybe.
Might have had something to do with it.
Might have had something to do with
America was around before that as well.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. Right. We're just going to put it on hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Just hip-hop.
Yeah.
No video games.
Nope.
Yeah. No MMA fighting.
Nah.
Not just the general way.
You know, basically, there was no gun violence before hip-hop.
Yeah, there was no, yeah.
None at all.
Yeah, exactly.
None.
Yeah, because did you see all the hip-hop that happened in that movie Gangs in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, that was because of hip-hop.
Yeah, that too.
Right.
Yeah. Billy the Kid Nodding was riding around listening.
They was listening to that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, did you know that Fight Club was created because hip-hop and violence?
Oh, it was based off rap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
God damn.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
There you go.
It's based off a book about how bad rap
was.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's some.
So we can ring the fuck shit bell for that guy.
Yeah, I got you.
Fuck out of here.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else now that we kind of talked about that with Will, and then, you know, we mentioned
Will, Hammer. Kid and Play.
Is there anybody, you know, that we can think of outside of those names that's just, that sometimes gets left out? We talked about Lucas.
You know who I really feel gets left out? Whenever I watch these hip-hop documentaries, no one ever talks about the impact of the Fat Boys. Because if Run DMC is here, this is for everybody who's actually watching on YouTube. If Run DMC is here, the Fat Boys are right here.
See,
as far as record sales, as far as impact, as far as
the
hits.
Fat Boys?
I'm not going for it. My Fat Boys game is a little low. I mean,
Buff,
I get the movies.
The
I get
Buff, B-box,
Prince Marky D.
That's a light-skinned cat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy because
looks like
it's,
Oreo Jones a little bit.
We see you, Oreo Jones.
No,
what's
it's crazy because the two remaining Fat Boys who are with us still
aren't fat.
They're not fat anymore.
Oh, word.
They're fit and shit.
I haven't seen them in years, so I couldn't tell you.
No, but like
my Fat Boys game is low.
Sold a lot. They had
a movie called Disorderlies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, word.
You know,
word.
The buffest hip hop duo is Camp Lo.
Yeah.
Word.
Sway.
Get your boy, man.
I don't know if they've changed since
they be sipping
Armor. Saw him in Atlanta in like 2010 or 11.
First of all, Camp Lo was cold.
And it, man,
yeah,
it
you just don't know
what
they were talking
but that's
about.
What stuck out to me.
It was like Jazz Kitchen a couple years ago.
Camp Lo was cold.
Looking like Mike Bibby.
Don't do that,
Mike Bibby look like a fucking action figure now.
Yeah, he out there on that Vibranium.
So
straight up.
Is that what he's on?
Mike Bibby, we see you on that Vibranium. Like
Black Panther.
Yeah, he on that Vibranium. But nah, man, the Fat Boys, like, they fall in line as well. Like, I'm sure they have a chapter as well. I'm just not going
to say that. No one ever, like, when they talk about Unsung, because they did an Unsung episode about them on TV1.
Yeah, I remember that.
They, like, because a lot of times I'm like, these people aren't unsung.
Okay.
But, like, they were really unsung because if for whatever reason, because I think they did some sucker shit at one point where there was this real weird nostalgia about the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
and
they was on
and
that
they did
Chubby
a song.
Checker
they
shit.
Did a song. No, this is the reason they did a song with Chubby Checker is because they did a remake of Wipeout with the Beach Boys.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was considered
cool on that.
That was considered some real considering from where they came. That was some real
Run
sellout
DMC
type
did it
stuff.
The right way. When they got with Aerosmith. Yeah.
Because
they definitely did it the right way.
Yeah. Because it was something they would have done anyway because they were just cutting up a rock
break.
Who did
it first?
I want to say Run DMC.
Yeah, it was Run DMC. But then the Fat Boys did Wipe Out with the Beach Boys, and was like,
that doesn't even sound like a good idea
at all.
Then they did a remake of The Twist with Chubby Checker, and it was like.
But even the Aerosmith joint was relevant because that was like in that same time.
So the Fat Boys was trying to move units.
Yeah, because they thought because there was this whole crazy nostalgia. Y'all might not remember this. I remember this shit
wasn't good though.
There was this nostalgia kick in like 86. That's when New Edition recorded that whack ass. Under the Blue Moon.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, they had the Tux. Had the Earth Angel song.
That's the one album you told me not to get.
Yeah. That's when the Monkees came back, and that's when Nick at Night kicked off, and everybody's watching like the Donna Reed Show and Mr. Ed, and everybody was all
Mr.
into
Ed
that.
Mr. Ed was cold.
Mr. Ed was on that bullshit. You know, Mr. Ed was racist.
See, I'm not doing this. No.
He was. No, man.
It's
hip-hop's fault.
We're not doing this,
No,
man.
But the thing is, it was weird 50s. And 60s, so they started doing, and Salt and Pepper got caught. They did a remake of Shake It Up, Baby. Like, it was real whack.
I don't know about that.
And there's some other hip-hop remakes of 50s and 60s songs, and they all suck.
Yeah. I don't know about that shit.
But
that's
like,
back, I was listening to... I'm gonna go ahead and just say I was listening to like Surface and Babyface and them when they was on that bullshit.
What did they do on that?
Who?
Surface and Babyface.
No, they didn't. I'm just saying that's what I would rather listen to back then.
That's what made it so weird, because it's like when New Edition was doing like Lil Anthony and covers and doing Earth Angel, this is when hip hop was really hitting its stride.
Yeah.
You know, it was on that bullshit. You know a crew that has some heat that I think gets passed over because their movement wasn't as big, but they had a lineup that was crazy. It was when Eric Sermon with the Def Squad, when they had Red Band, K-Solo, Hit Squad. When they started putting them groups, like they used to go back and forth from Mill and each other's records. They had a lot of heat.
But that turned into the Death Squad, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or, but
Death Squad is when they all separated. Because
Craig Mack was actually in it at first.
Yep.
Gotcha. And he got recruited by Puffy.
Because if you think about it, though, between...
Puffy.
Off,
Pete Diddy.
Off Red Man.
Dr. Feelgood.
Off Red Man and EPMD alone. Like, that's some heat, if you think about it. To have those two dudes in your crew or whatever you want to call it, that's a lot of heat. Okay. And I think
Keith Murray.
Then you got to keep forgetting about Keith Murray.
Can't forget about K-Solo.
Yep. So.
Actually, we could forget about him if we
didn't. Don't do that. Don't do that to K-Solo.
Letterman was my.
What's his joint, though? Your mom's in my business.
Your mom's in my business. Yeah. Actually flipped a sample of Maze and Frankie Beverly that I could respect.
Yeah, before I let go.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
So.
Eric Onassis.
They had some heat in that crew, too.
They did.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if. Everybody talks about them, you know, solo artists or whatever, or duos, but they had some heat.
I'm going to add somebody to the equation, because nobody really talks about this individual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just an individual?
Yeah.
Okay.
LL Cool J.
Wow.
Y'all remember how young he was when he got a record
16.
Deal?
16.
Shouts to Pete Sake.
Straight up.
He hates LL Cool J.
Does he? No, I mean, hates LL Cool J?
With a passion.
Look, there was a time. I remember, like, because, you know, when people always say, when did you fall in love into hip hop? I can give you the time. Like, because I always liked music, and, like, I would, you know, watch my little video Soul on a countdown on the weekends.
Donnie Simpson, we see you. Sherry Carter, yes, Lord. I'm sorry.
All right, calm down, brother.
I apologize.
I was more when Caribbean rhythms hit.
Okay. Yo, but if you
I
know,
got a little bothered talking about Sherry Carter. Sherry Carter was cold.
Hold on. If you know, like, I know. Madeline Woods on Video LP.
Man.
Yeah, I follow her on Instagram right now.
You lost some of them. You lost some of them.
Okay. But I'm just saying, like, if you're talking about when I fell in love with hip hop, I remember the first time I heard I'm Bad on Magic 108 in St. Louis. It was like Friday afternoon. I listened to the radio that whole weekend trying to hear that song again, because I was like, whatever this is what I'm going to be about pretty much for the rest of my life.
I had the mama said
knock you out single.
When I heard that, and you got to understand that song is a good 5.5 minutes long of just lyrical ferocity.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's back when the battles was deep. That's when he was going at Kool Moe Dee for the most part.
Andre Harrell heard that song because he was still a rapper at that time with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and he saw LL Cool J just being ferocious on stage, sweaty with no shirt on. It was like, I need to be an executive because whatever that young man is doing, I can't do that.
Yo, he was scared.
Let me ask you this.
He's a little scared.
And this is just stuff I see just on my timeline through conversation. I can't pin a name to it. I'm just talking about stuff I see as I scroll down. We talk about LL. You brought up LL. I see this every once in a while. LL is what Drake is today.
No.
I never agree with that. Oh, man, he talk about the sales.
The only way you can say that is because LL Cool J is the first rapper to pretty much
do a love song.
Do a love song with Ali, and then he continued to kind of follow that pattern.
But he told y'all his name was Ladies Love. He told you from the jump.
From the jump, this is my angle.
Drake came
at
out
16.
The gate, at 16. Drake came out the gate like, all right, I'm about to come out and put these bars on y'all. Now he Christopher Williams. So
there you go. I apologize.
You only said it because
you got to find me another name then, because I'm gonna keep using Christopher Williams. But I don't see the comparison, man. I just don't see it other than I Need Love and I guess The Lane. I just don't see the comparison.
I mean, he's been because dropping. Think about LL Cool J's the hits that he had.
Yeah.
After he was like the most popular rap artist in the world,
right?
Because I want to keep using world.
The world.
We see you,
Warren
G.
The world. W-H-I-R-L.
Craig.
He had ballad type rap hits with Boys to Men.
Oh, Halo was cold.
With Total. He followed that R&B pattern as far as linking up with, you know what I'm saying?
Love You Even, Better.
Jingling Baby was, doing it well. But doing it well kind of featured the chick on there, you know what I'm saying? Real back and forth sensual type shit.
But was he crooning on the song?
No, he wasn't.
What I'm saying.
Look, because
that's where you lose me with the comparison.
You know why he?
Who's ever made that comparison though?
Hey. I ain't saying you. I see this though. I see that there's a direct comparison between the two because of the lane.
Who's been doing that?
I told you. I'm scrolling through my timeline. I can't put a name with this one. Akeem, you good? Akeem ain't say this one. He trying to get me. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Call him out.
Yeah, the feds, man.
I'm just saying.
I don't have a name for it. I would give it to you.
LL was at one point.
He was
like our superhero.
Give me where you stand on the Drake.
LL was the biggest rapper in the world.
Yeah, come on, man. LL, that's why I mean,
Drake's the greatest rapper in the world now, right?
Biggest.
Absolutely not.
Fake news.
All right.
He's the biggest rapper in the world. Don't do the greatest.
That's not what streams make.
No. LL was. LL had the bars with it though.
Who else in that?
Drake can rap though. I don't get
right.
twisted.
So Drake can rap. LL can rap at that time period. Who was doing a similar style that Drake is doing now?
Nobody.
I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about his subject matter.
That's a good.
I don't. No, I'm not gonna. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
I almost said Big Daddy Kane, but
nah, not as much. Not as much.
Not really.
Yeah.
Now, even with the Smooth Operator, right. You still hitting him. Like, you didn't feel like a sucker as a dude listening to Smooth Operator.
There's no comparison, but if you're going to compare anybody from that era, it would have to be LL, wouldn't it? It's a dumb comparison. Let's go ahead and put that out there.
Thank you.
It's a dumb comparison.
Yeah.
But if you would, that would have to be the closest
He's probably the only person you could find.
Just because he has that appeal. Like, I will say, because LL had that same appeal where, like, dudes mess with him, and he also had that appeal to the ladies.
So there's that too.
That's where I could sort of make the correlation. But he's not so hip hop that women are afraid of him.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't afraid of battling anybody either.
Yeah. Well, Drake battled.
No, he didn't.
He bowed out too.
Yeah. He made a press release.
I mean, he gave Meek Mill that word.
That's 2018 battling.
Shout out to the homie that or the young man. I don't know him. What's his name? Shiggy. I'm old. I don't know. We talked about it on the last episode.
I don't remember.
Did we talk about he got 250 Gs?
We did.
Yeah, he came up.
He did.
And I think he was on Snapchat saying.
For what?
For creating that challenge, for the dance, Kiki challenge joint.
You know the song you keep hearing over and over.
I just
over
wanted
and
to
over.
Say that. No, actually, I don't hear it. I just wanted to say it so that people knew what we were talking about. That's
well, yeah, he got 250 Gs, and I guess he's about to get broke. He got broke off because he said he gave me a number one record. So shout out to that homie, man. So I guess. Great idea.
Look, you're viral. Bad.
Yeah, shout out to everybody who's wrecking their cars and getting hit by things by doing the Shiggy challenge.
You can do the shake your ass challenge to the joint I just put out.
Exactly.
Right. Stealing.
We're going viral,
Stealing.
Son.
Stealing.
Wild style, we see you, man. You about to go viral, son. Let's see, what else did I have here?
I don't know.
Let's see.
What did you have?
In Exile.
Yes, sir. That's the one. Great album. So,
what is the album called?
J Diff told me, well, actually, I wasn't aware. Blue in Exile, Below the Heavens.
Saw them in 2007?
11th year anniversary. 11th?
Yep.
11th year anniversary of Below the Heavens. Now, whenever people ask me about classic albums, what's the one of the last classics that you heard? This is one of the ones I name. To me, this is a classic album. To me.
Front to back.
Front to back, top to bottom. I'm talking about from a production standpoint.
Exile.
How it's sequenced. Song or all of that, the writing, everything to me on that album is it makes it a classic to me.
What's some of your favorite joints on there?
In Remembrance is one of my favorites.
I like them all. No Greater Love.
No Greater Love. Cold Hearted.
Yeah, Steel.
Dancing in the Rain.
Dancing in the Rain.
Soul Amazing. Dancing in the Rain. Yeah. They're all good.
The beat on Cold Hearted. Man.
It's got Miguel on it before Miguel went by Miguel.
Way before Miguel.
Even Below the Heavens Part 1 and 2.
Huh?
At the World? End.
Oh, at the end. Okay, yeah.
The World is...
Yeah. So that album, man, like, my man, shout out to my man P. Sake. You mentioned him earlier for Hating on LL. But he was like, yo, man, you got to hear this album, man. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's this dude, Blue, man. He's got this producer named Exile. To that point, I hadn't heard of him.
Right.
So... he was like, yo, you got to just listen to this album and holler at me. So I said, cool. So I was on the train, put it in. And I was like, this shit is amazing. Soul Amazing. Whoever these dudes are, they put their foot into this entire project. And I remember that. I know exactly where I was when the album came out. Classic album, man. Bars. It's just very, very, it's mad creative. Yeah, everything. I know Exile is your.
He's my favorite producer.
Your favorite producer. Yeah,
he is. So. I got put onto him. I was on a message board way, way back in the day.
Shut up, message boards.
I know. It's people that know what message boards are.
You might have lost some of them with the message.
But it was for Access Hip Hop out of San Diego. It was a record shop, and it might still be. I used to order records off there all the time. But it was a message board, and there's a whole bunch of hip hop dudes on there. Some people that I'm still, I still keep in touch with. And one of the dudes was actually Blame One. Okay. And shouts to Blame, people who know Blame. But Exile and Blame work together a lot, and they know each other real well. But through all these people are, they were like sharing, like, hey, yo, check out this Blue and Exile. It's dope. And I was like, all right, cool. Finally put it in. People suggest things. You're kind of like, okay, whatever.
I'll check it out.
I played that shit. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So it was, and from there, just went through the entire Dirty Science catalog and followed them, from there on. But we went and saw, I drove up to Chicago with Z, and we went and saw.
Yep.
Blue and Exile, you and me and Pete Sake. And
we were at Sub-T in Chicago. Shout out to the Shy.
So that was a great show.
Yeah.
Shouts to Tall Black Guy because he opened that show.
Ah, indeed.
And Radius.
Yeah, dope producer, man. Yeah, indeed. Amazing album. Jay Moore, you got any thoughts on that album? Do you remember?
No, I remember because that was, the thing is this is how far Coaches goes back.
Shout out to Coaches, DJ Metronome.
Is that, there were records off of that we played. And it's just one of those things where, like, I remember that time in hip-hop to where there was a clear
split
between the underground and commercial.
Right.
And the thing is, I was on the other side.
Yeah.
Because, like, I had come from radio, but I was done with radio at that point. But I was working in a record pool.
Yeah.
And so I had this real appreciation for records that had no aspiration to be on the radio.
Yeah.
And that's what this was. So this was around the time when I think like Kids in the Hall were popping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Double O Knowledge.
Little Brother was like.
Little Brother was really,
right around that time.
And so like in this Foreign Exchange was, was
still. Okay, Player had just pretty early. Much started. Well, yeah. Okay.
Well, no, they had
started
been around. They had been around,
yeah.
But to
you
me,
can find the heat, though.
I wanted to know what was really popping in the culture, I didn't listen to the radio. I'd go on OK Player boards, and somebody might post a link. It got a little reckless because, it'd be a whole album. I'd be like, hey, someone mess around and put a whole link to B.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember because I got the B like about a month before.
Let's be real, everybody
out.
Bootlegged music at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, that was just the thing.
That's when it was brand
because,
new, too.
Yeah,
because it was like Christmas every time you could get something like that.
Because my version of B had Consequence on They Say, and it had the studio version of food? The Food.
See, I've never heard that version.
The studio version.
Oh, really?
Is dope.
Oh, yeah, I had to get you that. I had to get you that. Yeah. I still have it on one of my hard drives.
I was always a little underwhelmed. I was like, why did they put the studio? Why didn't put
the studio version?
No, because on the album they put the live the Chappelle's version. I was like, yeah.
Which is cool, but it ain't. No, that was the one song I was like, I wanted to knock a little harder in the car. That'd be great.
And that version, that was Kanye.
I think that's when they say I missed the popularity of the Chappelle Show at the time.
Yeah.
You know I thought it was a dope move from that perspective.
Yeah.
No, because
it was still Common, though.
Yeah. I remember getting to see Kanye. Common and De La Soul at the pageant in St. Louis. And they... It was messed up because it was sponsored by Cool Cigarettes, and I just remember one of the MCs he's gonna be mad I don't remember his name, and I remember he walked across the stage in a t-shirt that says cigarettes are not cool, and they put him out.
Oh yeah,
but I just remember Common doing the Food.
Yeah,
you couldn't buy it. It wasn't commercially available anywhere. But it was. That's how big the Chappelle Show was. Mm. Everybody knew the words to the Food, even though it wasn't available anywhere yet.
Yeah,
I walked in the crib.
Yeah, yeah. This is a dope track.
Yeah, but yeah, I have that. I have that studio version.
I think we all. I think we all had the era or a certain time in our lives where we were strapped. What I call strapped in.
That was my era.
We kind of were in the same around the same time frame of being strapped in. I'm talking about
mine continued for a lot longer after that. Yeah. But
until I opened my mind,
still kind of in it.
Until I opened up my mind about music, I was strapped, sound bombing. I was strapped.
Oh
yeah.
Come on now.
What I'm saying?
You went to the record store every Tuesday.
Well, it was also one of those things where you it was harder to dig for stuff.
Facts.
Than it is now,
everything's on Spotify.
But it was a little easier than it was back when, because it's right when the internet started taking off. So there was independent music really kind of had a lane if you knew where to look. So it was a little bit different than now. It's just everywhere.
It's like Little Brother. They were on ABB Records or something,
right?
When they first
and I found out about
but they're
them
still
too.
On a, but they're still on a record label. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, now you
they
got
were
people that
on
are
OK
bubbling.
Player album samplers too, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
were,
but I found out about them because Questlove was into them.
Yeah,
he co-signed their
I was all on the message boards,
and then Young Guru got on, and it was then we get to Threats, and you know what I'm saying, it all trickles.
Ninth
from
Wonder.
Yeah, yeah.
So. But no, man, I think we all had that era where it's just,
you're just dialed in.
And the underground, it was appreciated back then. I think now I need to do a better job of making sure that I'm looking to find those artists that are underground and still got that heat. Because I know now with the emergence of the internet, so many people rap now. Music is so much more accessible. So I want to try to do a better job of trying to find that heat.
Mike's talking the internet's been around for 2 or 3 days.
Well, I mean, because I've never been the person to dig to go find the guy in Venezuela that raps. That's
He's
never been me.
I mean, it's just like we talked about earlier. I was bringing up all these artists, and you guys who are you talking about?
Yeah,
when I'm talking about Quest the Mad Lad, and I'm talking about the Super Friends, and I remember when Company Flow with Fun Crusher Plus hit.
For sure.
I know Company Flow. Man.
Yeah, so it was just a whole bunch of, Hobo Junction. All these records that I'm really honestly have been kind of lost to time. If you even go to streaming services, you can't find it.
A lot of them you can't
find. Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get lucky on YouTube.
Yeah.
But,
And some stuff because it was out of print.
Yeah.
I don't even think, Razzcast's first album is on streaming services. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And I loved that. When you talk about Nature, the Threat. And, I know he got it.
Especially now, though. That
Anything Goes. Come on. That was
my record. Because hip-hop blogs in general aren't as prevalent as they were, let's say, 3-4 years ago.
Right.
Yep. And there was definitely an era in time where hip-hop blogs took the reins of that and did the digging for all those. And now that people don't consume music that way, we kind of lost. I mean, it's kind of found a little bit through playlists, sponsored playlists on different, by different people. But
yep.
It's not saying you can't go to all these. There's so many blogs are just dead. I remember Kevin Nottingham was out. They were putting out a lot of underground stuff. You think of what's the Ruby Hornet, when Ruby Hornet was just music.
Yeah. Shout out to RTC,
But there's lots of blogs. I remember when Two Dope Boys just shared underground stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They didn't share, like, just, you know, commercial hip-hop and just the whole smorgage. You know, they shared just underground stuff.
Ego Trip.
Ego Trip. I mean, there's lots of them.
What's the joint? The green writing on the top. SOH.
There's Potholes in My Blog.
Shouts to Potholes. SOH. I know what you're talking about.
That's the one you're talking about, the one that they were going to discontinue like a year or two ago.
I think that's is that the one
somebody
I'm talking
about? Yeah.
So
SOH.
I remember them. They used to have some heat on there.
Used to be able to buy music off of there too.
Yes, sir.
I remember buying some underground hip hop. I bought I want to say the Gray album off of there.
Yeah,
I did.
There was in the website. I just all I remember is there was a dude on there. His name was War and Peace, who used to write reviews. I wish I remember the name of the site. That was a dope site. There was a site out of Bloomington, The Crib. This is for my real.
Now, I'm sleep
heads.
On that. I've never heard that album. Yeah, I'm sleep.
Kyle's
on that.
Crib. Shout out to my man Kyle. And
I think
kid.
We started bringing down the band. We really started doing stuff in 2010.
Yeah.
2009, 2010-ish, really 2010-ish. So we were in that era. But there were definitely blogs. The blogs before were just, a lot of them were just straight bootleg.
Yeah.
Like download straight albums. Like
links upon links. Like,
I remember back, we had there was the whole era where it was like the rush to get the single out first. Mm-hmm.
Ripping that shit.
Ripping it and getting it downloaded and change the formatting and get it up to Hulkshare or MediaFire. Yeah.
MediaFire. Yeah. That's when, you had to wait like
Hulkshare was dope because you could play it too, had the streaming availability.
No, I just remember MediaFire because they'd have whole albums up and you could go to sleep and you'd wake up the next day and your album would be downloaded.
Yes, sir.
Because you didn't.
Great feeling, by the way. The wackest feeling is having that joint.
Mega upload.
Ooh. Because somebody might call the house and mess up your download.
I legitimately remember the day that Mega Upload got seized and all that shit because it popped up on the screen. They're gone. Mm. I was like, oh, okay, what's next?
There's no worse feeling than waking up to like 87% and then something happened while you were sleeping.
Your connection was
and then you like, damn, I can't even rip the album.
Couldn't
now.
Even burn the album and ride to it.
Yeah. So you're talking about Napster days now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that a little less.
We did.
But yeah, those were
that was my digging era, though.
And that's,
like,
that's how we got our music. Because a lot of times we'd get that music. It's not because we didn't want to buy it, because like we just wanted it just like these kids today want it.
Yeah.
We want it right now.
It's just there's so much music out there. So if anybody's playing catch up, I remember like I found Little Brother.
Yep.
Through Little Brother, I found that MERS did an album with Ninth Wonder.
Yeah.
Then I found out about Living Legends. Then I found out about West Coast Dudes. And then I found out about Stone's Throw. Stone's Throw is a whole... You can go... I mean, they're all over the place. Yeah. And then you're just going from there. And then just... That's how I got introduced to a lot of those cats. But yeah.
That seemed like such a long time ago.
It does.
It seemed like a long...
It's about 12, 13 years
12, 13 years
ago.
Years ago.
For me, anyways. So...
That's a
technology and stuff moves so fast now that
it's so hard to keep up. Maybe just because I'm old, too.
Because now everybody...
I don't have the time like I used to just to do that.
But. Now everybody gets everything at the exact same time.
Yeah.
There was a time where if you lived in New York, you might get a song and it might not reach Indiana or St. Louis or Kansas City for 2 months.
Yeah.
I remember actually having Games album. Before my cousin
Which
who lived on the West Coast. His first album.
Okay.
The documentary.
I remember going to visit him in Pomona, and I had it. He's like, man, how did you get that? I'm like, shit, the internet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just downloaded it.
Yeah.
Everything, he's like, I haven't even heard this shit. I'm like, hearing it now.
Yeah. There was definitely an era in internet music where every single album was leaked.
No question.
Like a week before.
You couldn't avoid it, though.
There's
there's
like a documentary on it, actually.
There were
people
who,
were
like, they would tag
it.
the fact that they leaked the album. Yep. Like, they wanted credit for it, almost.
Yep. Shouts to all those old sites that I used to have bookmarked. That aren't around anymore.
I probably still got them all bookmarked on a computer.
There's a couple other ones out there.
Oh, where?
You just click on a link, and you won't go anywhere.
I got one saved.
What's that?
Because I found out that somebody told me that Pete Sakin, my album, was on there. And I was like,
what's it say?
I don't know if I want to advertise it.
I feel you. Ain't got to check. Keep that. Yeah. You're right.
But, well, plus, you know, people want to make their money. I mean, I'm not tripping off of it. Somebody really literally walked into Decademics like, yeah, I found your album on da-da-da-da.
Wow.
I was like, that's cool, I guess.
Not sure how that happened, but.
I remember there was a site I used to get music from, and then, like, I hit the gold mine one day, and they had Black Dynamite, the whole movie.
Dynamite.
Wow.
Man, Dynamite. I used to go.
And the thing is, what's crazy is, like, the bootleg I have has different scenes in it than the, like, I watched the bootleg so many times, I felt I had to buy the legit copy. Mm. So, because I was like, yo, I'm sorry.
That's been a good bootleg.
Yeah, but the pimp scene at, you know, was conference was different. There was different dubbing. Yeah. I was like, yo, I got to keep this just because it is actually different than
there's a legit version. A site called Rapamello. And I
yeah, I remember that site.
And Joe Harvey put me on, shouts to Joe, he put me onto it. And they used to have this dude, he's from Europe somewhere. He used to just rip like foreign albums. Italian albums and all this like rare stuff. And I used to go on there every day just to check what he's uploaded. And like, he's just ripping it from vinyl, putting the stuff up there. I was like, man, this guy's got gems.
I
went back through his entire thing and just ripped everything. It's still a site, but now he shares mostly just kind of beat music and stuff, which is dope. But
I know you probably was in a craze. Well, not technically in the craze, but
still, yes.
You probably still got them.
I do. I knew that it was going to run its course. I was like, I went through, I think, probably every page. I got everything.
Man. You just pull it no matter what. Just pull
everything. Yeah.
I probably paid.
I got a large
later.
Directory of, I ain't got no piracy notices though. So.
Okay. Well, that's what's important. That. Bong bong.
Well, that's what's up, man. I'm trying to think if, I know we're cutting it close here, but we listened to, the Vanderslice joint. Best album money can buy.
Yeah.
He has some dope features on here. Gibbs. Prodigy, Conway, Vic Spencer, shout out to the homie Chicago.
Yeah. Some decent cuts on there.
J-Zone, Conway again at the bottom. I think we listened to, maybe 3, 4, 7. Did we get through the whole thing?
Yeah, we listened to it.
Solid production.
Production was
grimy.
Solid.
Mm-hmm. Grimy production. I think it's always dope to hear a Prodigy verse.
Yeah.
I don't know how old it was or, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, but it's just dope to hear that.
I've always been weird about, albums. Mm-hmm. That artists didn't have anything to do with, though.
Patchwork.
See, and it,
always have been weird and about that.
Not to put anything on blast, but I mean, there were a couple joints that didn't seem like the verses were synced up right.
Sound like two-track emails.
And I'm just a, like, I know.
But that's what
that
you
life.
Listen for.
You can't help it, though.
That's what
yeah,
I do.
You
kinda,
can't help
so
it.
It's
yeah,
like,
you can't
like
help.
Remember when Pac died and they were just putting all that shit out?
Yeah, just putting his acapellas over anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
But the album was pretty good, though, so.
He has some heat on there, man. Good production. Gibbs blacked out on. I can't remember the name of his record. I have to pull it up on Spotify.
Yeah, that one was dope.
The Slug and Evidence joint was real dope too.
Yeah, they got down, man. So I think I'm taking the irony in the best album money can buy in terms of all the features that he has. That's the way I see it.
I think it was.
I don't
funny
know
too.
If that's it, but that's the way yeah, I. Take
it was pretty
it.
Funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like he put that bread up to get them features. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a lot of them.
If you had that opportunity, who would you buy for your album?
Royce.
If I had the budget or anything?
Royce.
You got about $50,000 to spend.
Ghostface
Killah.
Home
versus.
I get Crit.
That's a good one.
I get Crit. I've always wanted to work for some reason with Styli. I like Styli for some reason.
Ohio?
Yeah. I didn't like Ohio, but I like Styli.
He's from Ohio.
That's his album was called Ohio.
I wasn't talking about the album.
I'm sorry. See? Cool. I'm trying to think. Who else would I get? Nick Grant. I like Nick Grant. Yeah. I don't know, man. How much bread I got left?
So
probably not much.
Yeah, really.
You gotta pick one mainstream.
One mainstream.
You don't quite get a full 16.
What I get?
You get 8.
Get an 8 from somebody in the mainstream?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't listen to.
What'd you get, Valet?
No, I'm cool.
okay.
Fonte? Yeah.
That's not really mainstream. But, you know, hey.
The mainstream. Just,
you know what?
I'm going to add him to my list.
I'll tell you what. I would do.
I'm fool with Fonte.
What I would do is I would just take the $50,000 and just give it to Fonte and say, let's do a project.
Look at God. That's what I'm talking about.
You
that's
would just
good
produce the whole
right
thing
there.
Or would you rap on it too?
I wouldn't rap at all. I don't need to rap against Fonte.
Okay.
I'd be wise not to do
I
that.
I don't need none of that.
Yeah, you don't want
is
that
it
smoke.
Really rapping against
he's nice.
Fonte?
You know? No,
well,
you don't want that
it's
smoke
not,
rather
but,
than rapping
but
with
I don't
Fonte.
I don't want to take away from, I'm somebody that just wants to hear Fonte verses.
So you would
I don't
be,
need to hear myself.
You would be the hip-hop Nicolay for Fonte.
Oh, that's fucked up, ain't it?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Right, you know, yeah. We got some things we need to announce. We got some things we need
yes,
to announce.
Yes, sir. Talk
you know,
that talk, Jay
okay,
Moore. Talk
I'm
that talk.
Let you know tonight. All right, I'm gonna be at.
I see what you did there.
Exactly. I gotta get my shouts out.
Get that off.
Let's see. Gonna be at Tiki Bob's tonight with DJ Lemmy Vice, and I think it's gonna be me and Lemmy Vice and DJ Gabby Love tonight, and this weekend on Friday specifically. At the Jazz Kitchen, if you are in Indianapolis, it's going to be a tribute to A Tribe Called Quest.
Word.
Old Soul Entertainment is presenting that at the Jazz Kitchen. So word. If you are in the city, definitely support the Jazz Kitchen. Even if it's not on that particular night, Jazz Kitchen is the spot to be. There's no danger there, like Warren G would have you to believe. So
I like that or, though.
Yeah,
we're going
or you could do both, because I'm actually doing an event at
Char Blue
yeah. with Kevin Nance,
okay.
West,
okay.
Neo Soul, me, myself, and I. And tonight is The Build.
Okay.
Nice.
It is.
So
actually, you can do both, because you guys get done about like 9:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's around the time we're going to be getting things started at the Jazz Kitchen.
You can stay home, and maybe I'll tweet a little bit, and you can follow me on Twitter.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. And as always, take that Tuesdays every Tuesdays at Coach's Tavern downtown Indianapolis.
What else we missing? We're gonna miss. I guess that's it.
I think that's it. All right then. Shout out to the sponsors: Coleman Dental, 317-255-8546. No bad ideas as always. They lace us Printfinity. Bring it down to band.com. Go to our Patreon as well. www.patreon.com/newoldheads. I know you can throw your boy a dollar, please. We got some dope things going on, a lot of raffles and giveaways. I believe that is everything. That's going to wrap up episode 90, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Shout out all the sponsors out.
Yeah, we got everybody. Come on, man.
God damn! Hey!